You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Well, we're going to have a big baseball hour coming up here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Jerry DePoto will join me in a half hour at 8:30. Robbie Ray here in just a moment. New Mariners pitcher, reigning Cy Young Award winner. Really excited to talk to him and just excited about the next season here for the Mariners. Get to meet Robbie now, and then he'll have a press conference a little bit later this morning. So the assembled media will get their opportunity to chat with him as well.
First crack at it.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. So we don't really know much about him. I know he's a Tennessee guy. I know he's been with a few organizations. But he joins us right now in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Robbie Ray, newest Mariners. Reigning Cy Young Award winner. Hello, sir. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How's it feel, man? How's it feel to be in Seattle and to be the newest Mariner?
Yeah, it feels really good. You know, this whole process, everybody in the front office, Jerry, Justin, speaking with Scott, ownership, they've all been great in this whole process and, you know, helping us get to know the Mariners and learn a bit more about the city, and it's just been a really fun, a really exciting process.
Are you someone who involves yourself in it, or you just leave it to your agent and say, hey, call me when we got a good deal somewhere?
No, we had meetings, Zoom meetings, sat down and talked with Jerry and Scott and Justin, and, you know, it was an extensive meeting, and we sat down and talked about the direction of the team, and talked about the vision for the future, and man, they just really sold me on it.
Well, that's a cool thing to hear, and I think Mariners fans like to know that it's not just the money, that there's an element of wanting to be a part of this organization, that we've spent some time watching the rebuild happen and going through the hard part of it. Now that they're coming up on the other side of it, it's really comforting to hear that there are players that are buying into that vision as well. Was there one part of it that made you say, yeah, this is the place I want to be and this is the right vision for me in the future?
I think it was just the culture, the winning culture, seeing the guys last year, what they were able to put on the field, seeing the young guys come into their own and kind of realizing who they are as baseball players and as men. And, you know, just seeing it from across the field and, you know, hearing post-game press conferences about, you know, the way that things were going in that clubhouse, and man, it was just something that you look at and you're like, man, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Are there players or people in the organization that you know previously?
Yeah, so I played with Mitch Haniger in Arizona, and me and Kyle Lewis have the same agent, so we're connected through that. But those two are probably the biggest name guys I know on the team.
Well, with Mitch,
guys like Marco and Tom Murphy, they both reached out to me when they heard the news, and you know, they're excited, and you know, I let them know I was excited as well.
The Mitch thing is especially interesting just based on the article that he wrote in the Players Tribune. I think it really captured a lot of the Mariners fans' attention, and we've heard everybody on the team who's been interviewed since commented on it as well, and this idea that you know, the rest of the league better look out. I got to imagine that a conversation with Mitch took place before you signed here.
Yeah, we talked about it, and man, he's passionate. He was in it. He was in it last year, and he felt the energy from the fans that last week of the season and that last homestand. You know, having 45,000 fans, he felt that energy, and he could feel that push that the fans were getting behind him, and he said it was infectious, and he wanted more of it. And you know, to hear that from a guy that has gone through the rebuild process and coming out the other end of it, you know, saying that he felt that way about the city and about the team, you know, it just makes the decision a lot more easier too.
That's cool. You mentioned ownership as part of that. You know, part of that ownership is Ken Griffey Jr. We were told he'd do a little recruiting. Did you get some junior access as a part of this process?
No, I wasn't able to, but I'm sure there'll be some conversations had in the future.
You got to put that into the contract. You got to demand some junior access as a part. Like, hey, I want this much money. I want this kind of a no trade clause and this much access to junior.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, we're talking to Robbie Ray here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Another similarity with Haniger that you mentioned there is, look, he wrote in that story about some of the issues he had coming up and some of the changes he needed to make in his own career in order to really accelerate it and move forward. You really seem to have put it together in the last couple of years, but especially last year. We just had such a dominant season. What was different for you last year?
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like I've always had the mindset of I was going to go out and attack guys and attack guys. And I felt like I had the stuff to do it. But the physical and the mental didn't match up necessarily as well as I wanted it to. I felt like I was always searching and always trying to build and always tweaking a little bit. And there was just something missing. And it was the consistency with my delivery. And I feel like in the off season, putting on the weight, the good weight, getting in the gym, getting after it, and then really focusing on a delivery that was repeatable and that was consistent, that was going to allow me to consistently get to the same spot every single time, is what made the difference for me.
So is that like a way to create a consistent release point, essentially?
Yeah, so the release point is huge. I mean, I didn't want to get into too many nerdy things, but...
Well, I was watching some of this online. It looks like you have a little bit more. I mean, I don't really understand all the pitching at that level, but a little bit more of a turn, almost akin to what Felix used to do at some point while he was here.
Yeah, that was something that I had done previously back in the minor leagues, and just slowly over the years got away from it. And you know, as I said, I was trying to make those tweaks and changes. You know, you slowly get away from things that you had success with, and when you're trying to search and build and get better, but. You know, for me, it was getting back to that and getting back to that turn and feeling strong and feeling like I was driving down the mound and staying close long enough and you know, really giving myself a chance to, you know, get the ball out front. And like you said, consistent release point is huge. Having the same release point on fastball and slider, because those are, you know, my two best pitches, was key for me.
How do you maintain it? I mean, what is the maintenance process to ensure that this keeps up for you?
Yeah, it's just continue the process. I think the gains that I made in the off season, I'm continuing to do that. I'm continuing to get after in the gym. I'm continuing to, you know, ingrain that delivery, that turn, everything that I did in the past. I'm just continuing the process.
All right, we got to get to know you a little bit too. We're talking to Robbie Ray, newest Mariner here on 710 ESPN Seattle. I think we know a little bit now about, you know, what you are as a player and why you're here. Well, we got to find a little bit about who you are. Tell me, you've got all these strikeouts, right? What is the best way to strike someone out? Does it feel better with a fastball, with a slider? What feels the best?
Man, I don't know. Every strikeout feels pretty good. but getting to an 0-2 count, 0-2-1-2, and just absolutely burying a guy on a slider who thinks the fastball is coming is a really good feeling.
So you like the swing and miss versus like a big chainsaw strikeout call from the ump?
Yeah, I think I'm more of a swing and miss because it's like, hey, I got you.
I like that. All right. And I know that you hear this wherever you go. I feel bad. I feel like a lame radio host even asking about this, but I have to. Like, I'm contractually obligated. What's the deal with the tight pants, man? Everybody talks about when it comes to you and your name. What's up with the tight pants?
Yeah, so, you know, again, I talked about getting into the gym and putting on the weight and getting stronger and getting bigger. And, you know, my pant size didn't change. And so I just kept the same pant size. And in spring training last year, guys were just giving me a hard time about it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it because you guys hate it. And then it became my thing. It became, you know, going into the season, it kind of became a part of me and a part of my game. And, you know, it ended up working out.
Is it distracting, or is it sort of like the whole Bull Durham thing where, like, you know, he's thinking about something else and it seems to help him a little bit?
I don't know. I think it's a little bit of an intimidation factor. You see a guy come out onto the field and his jersey is a little snug and, you know, he's got, you know, he's a little bit bigger guy. And I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of an intimidation factor.
Now I know I'm getting old, man. I'm 43. Like, I'm at the end of Gen X. Like, when I was in middle school, high school, college, like, if your shorts and pants weren't the biggest they could possibly be, you look like you were a relic from the 70s. It's like everything has completely come around full circle on all this. It's amazing.
100%.
What? Where do you keep your Cy Young Award?
You know what? I haven't gotten my trophy yet, but I'm looking for a good place to put it right now. It's probably going to go in my man cave with the rest of the awards that I get, and I'll find a good shelf right in the middle for it.
What did that mean to you to be honored with that award?
It was huge, and you know, to win almost near, you know, near unanimously, just even speaks more volumes to, you know, the season that I had. And it just validates everything that you do. I spoke about it before, but, you know, I felt like I put together the season. I felt like I did everything I needed to do. I you know, went out and did it. And but to have your name called at the end of the year for the Cy Young Award, it just validates, like, yeah, you did it.
What about your family? I see you're married. Kids yet?
Yeah, I got three kids.
Three kids? Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of kids. How old are they?
They are 6, 4, and almost 2.
Man, so you're kind of right in the middle of it. My kids are just a little ahead of you. I got 10 and 7, so you're right in the middle of a lot of it. What do they think about the move? Are they excited for the trip? What's all that been like?
Yeah, they're excited. My oldest son, he kind of gets it now what dad does, and it's really cool to see. And you know, when I broke the news to him and told him where I was going, and you know, he was excited, and he was like, Mariners. And you know, it was a really cool experience to be able to tell him to that. My daughter and other son are a little too young to kind of get it, but my older son, he got it, and he was excited about it.
What do they think of the teal, or are they more of a fan of the blue Mariner? I am anti teal. I've been very much on the record here. I get ripped for it, but I would ditch the teal. Repeal the teal has been my campaign. Where do you stand on the teal uniforms?
I actually like teal, so I don't dislike it at all. So I think it brings an extra, you know, color into the mix, and it kind of meshes really well with the dark blue.
But we saw it last year. Tyler Anderson, I think, only wanted to pitch in the teal uniforms, and I heard somebody suggest that you preferred the Blue Jays uniforms. Is that true? Did you mostly pitch in the blue uniforms last year?
Yeah. So the Royal blue uniforms was pretty much the only jersey I pitched in last year. There may have been a couple times earlier in the season where we were on a hot streak and I rode out a gray uniform or maybe the white uniform. But I think for the most part, I just wore royal blue the whole year.
And is that something you, like, how does that go? Who do you talk to about something like that? Like, hey, I really want to pitch in this uniform. Can you make it happen? Is that like the clubhouse guy? Who do you talk to?
Well, in Toronto, it was just up to the starting pitcher that day. It was decided by whoever was pitching that day, and I felt most comfortable in my royal blue jersey last year, and so we just ran with it.
I like it. Well, you seem like a really good dude. It's nice talking to you. Really, really happy for you. I think Mariners fans are ecstatic to have you here. We're really excited about where this thing is going, and I think people bought into this idea of a rebuild, knowing that what would come out on the other side would be better, the farm system would be better, and just, you know, last year was a lot of fun watching that team maybe compete above what their roster level was. And I think we're so excited to see some real additions to it. So congratulations. Welcome to Seattle. We're looking forward to it, Robbie.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's Robbie Ray, newest Mariner and Cy Young Award winner. All right, well, we found out quite a bit there. We now know about the pants. I understand the whole tight pants thing. We learned a little bit about why he always wore blue last year. So he also likes the teal. So maybe that's a little bit of a question mark.
My guy.
Maybe we'll have to find a different favorite pitcher other than Robbie Ray. I hope he's not choosing to wear the teal
every
time.
You and your weird jersey. I hope he doesn't pick a bad number.
Well, I didn't even ask him about his number. I don't care about numbers nearly as much in baseball. It doesn't mean the same thing as it does in football.
Okay.
Numbers
mean
everything in football and in hockey and to a lesser extent basketball, but they don't mean anything in baseball. I can't tell you anybody's
flawed
number
logic.
In baseball. It all looks the same. It's not flawed logic at all. And you, by the way, you guys are ripping me. And then Kyle came in yesterday and was like, yeah, you guys are nuts. Totally agreed with me in the McKissick thing.
He looked better in 41.
No, he looked better in 21. He looked sort of silly in 41.
Oh, I think you're saying he looked bigger, more powerful.
He looks bigger, but he didn't look better.
I felt like he thought it was funny to egg you on.
Kyle?
I don't think he actually.
He's 100%. You're 100% wrong. Kyle probably feels it more strongly than I do. You're wrong about that. What'd you think of Robbie Ray? I kind of liked him, huh?
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
At first, we were talking about it in the studio. I was like, oh, is he going to be quiet and shy? And it's like, oh, he warmed up.
No, I've heard he's a pretty good dude and not a huge crazy personality or anything like that, but that he's a fun guy and really well liked, has known as a real leader and a clubhouse presence and all of that. And then, you know, we were talking earlier about Haniger. I thought there was some really cool stuff there on his relationship with Mitch Haniger and the fact that Haniger helped sell him on this. Look, I don't know whether Mitch is going to be here long term or not, but a move like this doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, sure. Like, you know, as you're thinking about that conversation, and we played the sound from Ryan Divish earlier of Ryan saying that you know, almost kind of brushing over the fact that Mitch Haniger would probably be gone after this season. I don't know. I don't know that we know yet what'll happen. I think that the Mariners, it's up to them to prove to Mitch with deals like this that this is a place he wants to be, and it's up to him to show that he can stay healthy and perform at a level where they want him here long term at the kind of price tag that's going to be associated with it. So I thought there was a lot of cool stuff in there. I'm excited about Robbie Ray. We'll talk to Jerry DePoto more about this in 15 minutes. What was that?
It's a big one.
Oh, what is it?
Have you noticed how many successful restaurants are theme-based these days?
I should have asked him that.
We should start doing that with various guests.
We
should start peppering those in.
Come on, and we just start playing them the sound.
Have you ever had the desire to write your initials in wet cement?
Excuse me? What was that? Wet cement?
Answer the question.
Have you noticed that real estate agents are becoming really big stars these days? It's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I tell you, if you're looking to derail the show at any point and make me start laughing,
just
play some of those clips, man. Those questions completely crack me up. Collective bargaining agreement is set to expire tonight, and it looks like the Mariners' offseason will be on a hiatus. No league business can be transacted once the lockout goes into effect, so that means no more free agent deals, no more trades until the two sides find a way to work out a new deal. Assuming that occurs, they'll have made a couple of notable additions to go with a few subtractions. Kyle Seager and Yusei Kikuchi both out. Adam Frazier, Robbie Ray both in. Clear upgrade, obviously, in the pitching department. Ray is likely the top pitcher on the staff. Coming off a Cy Young season in Toronto, I really enjoyed talking to him there and hearing about what he's done to improve himself and getting stronger and getting into the gym. They say pitchers aren't athletes, but it's interesting. He feels like what he did to make himself stronger and more athletic ended up making him a better pitcher with a more consistent release point. As for Frazier, probably not a Seager replacement per se, but he is a useful piece. He can certainly hit. He can play multiple positions. As for the Seager replacement, that's still to come. That's still to come. We know the team's been interested in landing a run-producing infielder who can take his place, whether it's Chris Taylor, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story. All three remain unsigned. There's also ways you can go through the trade route as well. We're likely going to have to wait a few months to find out who it'll be, though. Those teams looking to trade for prospects may prefer to know what the new CBA looks like. Ryan Divish said exactly that to Wyman and Bob yesterday.
Then I think also if you're the teams like the A's and the Reds, and you're looking to trade, you know, if the A's are looking to trade Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and the three pitchers, or the Reds are trying to trade Sonny Gray and those guys, you're looking for prospects. So you want to know what the CBA is in terms of player control of these prospects, because that's going to matter.
Mariners also tendered contracts to 33 of the players on their roster yesterday, reached a one-year deal with reliever Casey Sadler to avoid arbitration. Same with a four-year deal with Andres Munoz. He's the hard-throwing reliever returned from Tommy John at the very end of last year.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, six games left for the Seahawks, and at 3-8, the playoffs are not really a possibility at this point, but there are still plenty to compete for, including trying to get their quarterback situation right. According to Pete Carroll, Russell did take responsibility after the loss Monday night.
And he told him, he said, I got to do better. And guys know, they don't have to say a lot. It's not a lot of words. It's just the sincerity and the care, you know, that he brought to it. It was, you know, it was heartfelt. And he's doing everything you can do. He's doing everything you can do. He's staying up late. He's getting up early. He's practicing hard. He's staying after practice. He's getting the reps, the whole thing. He's doing everything he can do. And everybody should understand that. That's really clear.
I'll say it again. I would like Russ to spend fewer than 19 hours a day working on this stuff. Get some rest, sleep a little bit, relax, and see if you can get your game back. There's so much that ails the Seahawks right now. But how much of it could be alleviated if Russell were just playing like Russell? I love the guy. He's been my favorite quarterback, my favorite player for such a long time, and I think he's covered up issues on this roster for years. But he's not playing like himself. He's been tentative, he's been inaccurate, and he's made poor decisions.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Husky world, but it could be a whole crazy mess, or it may be totally fine. New Husky head man Kalen DeBoer introduced yesterday as the next coach of the Washington Huskies. He's certainly excited about what could happen.
This program's got a strong history and tradition, national championships, and that's something, as you know, if you've kind of taken a look, that's something I'd like to be a part of, okay? And it's being the best. And that's our goal.
He also brings with him a resume of offensive success, first at Indiana, and then head coaching experience and success at Fresno State. He might be bringing a quarterback with him as well, though. Former Husky Jake Haener flourished under DeBoer at Fresno. He entered the transfer portal yesterday. All signs point to him now coming to Washington as a transfer. He would not have to sit out a year. So what does that mean for redshirt freshman Sam Heward? Well, I don't think that he would back away from any kind of a competition, but if you're Heward, why would you sit around and wait for a guy that, you know, wouldn't be transferring here unless he had the job for that one season? It would shock me if Washington chose one season of Haener over four seasons of Sam Heward, but that seems to be the way college football works in these days, and Sam may not stick around to find out what life is like after Jake Haener. So that's kind of a very strange situation. We'll keep monitoring that one. Meanwhile, a couple of injuries to report for the Kraken. Cali Yarncroke and Chris Drieger, the goalie, both go on IR today. Not good news as they take on Detroit tonight. That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour. As I said, Jerry DePoto coming up here in 10 minutes.
Getting heavy into the baseball stuff, which is great. Yeah. We got a text in here at the 206. Russell's becoming a poster boy for getting good sleep. Why does everybody seem to think that working 20 hours a day is a good thing? That's the young generation.
Well, I don't think it's just the young generation. Like, at some point, you need to sleep,
yeah,
right?
Well, I agree.
I mean, like, you know, millennials are lazy and all that, but, like, you do need sleep. This idea of 19 hours a day, especially as you get older, I honestly don't know that that's what's best for Russell Wilson. I mean, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physical therapist. And I'm sure
he spends a lot of time, a lot of money on making sure he's doing it the right way.
Obviously, they know a lot more than I do. But I think there's also something, just some common sense of this is like, man, just relax.
Yeah.
Just chill out a little bit. Maybe you're pressing a little bit too hard and it's affecting the decision making and making you tentative. And, you know, I've heard some people suggest the yips. I don't think Russell has the yips. Clearly not. I mean, you saw some of the throws he made. But, like, just chill a little bit, man. Just get back to being you. Maybe watch some positive, just a highlight reel. Don't focus on the negative. Don't work on your finger. Just think about you, or better yet, don't watch any film of you. Yeah, obviously you got to do your game preparation, but just get away. Just chill out a little bit and see if you can get out of the funk that you're in right now.
Yeah, because whatever he has been doing clearly didn't shake it out.
Yeah, I mean, this is going on like a year now that Russell hasn't looked the same. I mean, so, obviously the last three games since coming back has been kind of a mess and the accuracy and all that, but it's really been since the Buffalo game last year. So that's a year ago that Russ has not looked like himself.
I don't remember what movie it is, but it's somebody that like, well, I'm doing everything the right way, doing everything the right way. And then the response was, maybe it's time to try some wrong, man.
Right. I could see that.
Try some wrong.
Maybe just try it a different way. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is that ails Russ right now, but I do think it's possible that he needs to take advice from a guy that nobody likes very much. Maybe he needs to take some advice from Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he needs to relax.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Maybe he just needs to relax. Just like Rodgers. We'll talk to Jerry DePoto. He can't relax, at least until this deadline goes down. He's been out there furiously trying to improve the Mariners roster. We'll find out what he's done and what he's hoping to do next. We'll talk to Jerry coming up on the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
As I said, big baseball hour here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Just talked to Robbie Ray a few minutes ago. Jerry DePoto will join me in a moment. Then we'll do a football talk. John Clayton in 15 minutes. And then Matt Hasselbeck will sit in here for the entire 9 o'clock hour for the Matt Hasselbeck Show. So a lot of really cool stuff going on with some great people on the show today. As for Robbie Ray, yeah, there's a lot to like there. Obviously, his story about Mitch Haniger and the fact that they knew each other from Arizona, reached out. And that Haniger's one of the reasons that he wanted to sign here and liked what they were building and all of that. I think that's important to hear. And not just for the fact that it was important to Robbie Ray, but that Mitch Haniger feels that way and is, you know, kind of putting putting more than just the words of that Players Tribune article to work there. So I think that's great. And then, you know, this deal with the tight pants of like, hey, you know, I got bigger because I worked out more. The pants stayed the same. And then I just went with it. Honestly, it sounds a lot like the whole Pearls story with Jock Peterson last year in Atlanta as they went on to win the World Series. So
intimidation factor.
Yeah, same kind of thing of like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. You don't like it? Even more so, I'm going to go do this. It's going to be my thing.
And I grunt when I throw hard.
Yeah, that's the other. He's a loud grunter. I guess sort of a Monica Seles of pitchers. Maybe that's what attracted Jerry DePoto to him. I don't know. Jerry joins me right now here in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
What's up, guys?
Well, a lot. You tell me. I mean, you're the one who's had a heck of a week. What has it been like over the last week here?
It's been a blast, really. I know since obviously we weren't able to talk last week due to Thanksgiving, but you know, from picking up Adam Frazier to obviously now signing Robbie Ray, we did a fun extension with Andrés Muñoz. It's been a very active couple of weeks here, and in between a ton of flights and Zooms and meetings with various free agents, and it's really interesting to get to know people you didn't know very well before. So it's been a great couple of weeks.
I want to talk to you about all that you've done. I want to quickly ask just for so that we understand, you know, we got this deadline kind of hanging over everybody tonight at 9 o'clock Pacific time. Is there still time to do any other deals now before that deadline, or is that time passed?
Oh, no, we can absolutely do deals. And that we're still approaching this as if, you know, today's another business day. And, you know, we've got our hands in a couple of different trade talks and we're still engaged with a few free agents. And, you know, I can't say one way or the other whether we will get anything done, but I also wouldn't say it's impossible.
Well, that's exciting. That's a reason to keep listening over the course of the day and checking Twitter and all of that. How happy are you with where the team is at and what the roster looks like after those two moves?
I'm really happy. Obviously, we were the ones who did it. So in the moment, I feel like it would have been disingenuous not to have a smile on my face. But we went into the off season with the goals, and we express them, you know, pretty publicly, and we've been able to knock or check a few of those boxes, especially with adding Robbie to the top of the rotation, and you know, Adam joins and really makes that lineup longer and gives us a solution in the infield at second base and gives us that versatility that we coveted. So, all in all, I'd say the progress we've made to this point in the offseason has been real positive.
There were a bunch of arms that were available. Why Robbie Ray is the one that you chose to target?
I think presence, physical stuff. It's we have a rotation that we think is underrated, but we're not a big strikeout staff. And, you know, with the exception of Logan Gilbert, that's just not what our guys do. And, you know, Robbie Ray is as good at doing that as any starting pitcher in the big leagues. As it works out, perhaps, you know, over the course of his first 1,000 major league innings, maybe as good as it ever has been as far as striking hitters out. So he's a bat misser. He's durable in an era where that's not common. He's able to chew up innings and go deep into games. And, you know, the left-handed presence in a rotation with that kind of physical ability. And really, I think a guy to pull the sled as much as anything. We've got leaders in our clubhouse that have evolved over time, you know, but when other teams walk into the ballpark, you know, we've often, this 2021 season was emblematic of it. They leave thinking, wow, that team's better than I thought. Well, our goal is to put a team out there that is, you know, that when they come in, they feel like this team is pretty good. We better be ready.
Yeah, that I totally get the goal. What is left in order to accomplish that?
You know, we want to add the one more bat and minimally one more bat. We think there's potentially room for two, but, you know, it depends on where that bat lies. And now we have the flexibility of focusing on the offensive impact, wherever that might land. And that's what the Adam Frazier acquisition really does for us. We would like to continue to add depth to the starting rotation. If there's an opportunity to add that one more arm there, that would be great. So we still, and whether that be, you know, via free agency or trade, we're open to all avenues. But those are the things we'd still like to get done.
I assume when you say you're looking to add a bat that, and just looking at the lineup, that power or run producing rather is important in that player.
Yeah, you know, we feel like JP and Adam Frazier and to a degree Abraham Toro, they're your table setters. Now you need your run producers. And, you know, we are focused on more the middle of the order, that power, you know, tight presence in the lineup. And hopefully we're able to bring it to Seattle.
You know, obviously we've seen players that have signed that fit some of that bill. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to speak to the truth of stories about length of deal and this and that. But is the length of a deal important to you right now?
The length of a deal is always important, and it's part of what we assess as we go into it. And, you know, I can't say that there's anything that's happened in our negotiations that has been concerning in that regard. Obviously, we've gone, you know, 5 years with Robbie Ray. We've done other long deals. We have a 5-year extension with Marco. We're not concerned with length of deal. It's a combination of length of deal and where we think a player is in his career. And, you know, those are, I guess, combined, they are effects that do matter to us. And we're conscious of it as we go into these discussions.
Jerry, you mentioned having room for one, maybe two more bats on the roster right now. How do you balance proven veterans that you might bring in with also giving space for young players to grow into?
That's been the trick for us, and the line that we're walking through this offseason, because we do have so many young players that need playing time. And, you know, we've talked about at some point this year, it will be time for Julio Rodriguez. We want to continue to see everyday at bats going to Jared Kelnick and to Cal Raleigh and to Abraham Toro. So that balancing that out is why we've coveted versatility so much. And I talked about it with Adam Frazier and how he fits our team in such a positive way. It allows us to either be creative in how we shift positions around or in handedness matchups and giving guys opportunity. So that's a real thing for us. So we are still looking at the potential of adding everyday players rather than, you know, guys who fit roles. But we do have to be conscious of making sure that we give those young players continued runway to develop in the big leagues.
You know, it's interesting. That was another direction I was going to go with you today, is trying to understand the difference. And I had somebody ask me, I forget who it was, whether or not they should be concerned that some of the players being brought in were valued for their versatility, that as if being versatile maybe shows that a player isn't good enough to have one specific spot that they stick at. Can you help explain how that works in your world?
Well, Adam Frazier is a great example, and Abraham Toro is another. But and it's why we were attracted to Abraham, his bat to ball skills and his versatility, and the same with Adam. You know, and Adam obviously has the long track record, but Adam Frazier has been a borderline Gold Glove quality second baseman while being a very good hitter at the major league level with on base skills. So it's a he is capable of playing one position and playing it quite well, but the benefit that he brings a team is the versatility in addition to the quality of the bat and what he can do as a middle infielder. And when you find players that have, and we've talked about it here on your show, when you have players that have that selflessness that will go out there and they'll do what the team needs on a given day to put the best lineup on the field, that's when you're really clicking. I think you see it with the Dodgers, you know, in recent years. They've got a lot of stars and a lot of stars that move around wherever they're needed. Right? And I think that's the kind of team that we would imagine having.
You know, it's funny. We just got to talk to Robbie Ray, who was great. He was really fun to talk to. Seems like a bright guy and an interesting guy. And he mentioned first of all, he was very complimentary of the pitch that you guys gave him and of you and Justin and Scott, et cetera. But also, you know, mentioned that he knew Mitch Haniger from their time in Arizona and that he reached out to Mitch and got a really strong feeling from Mitch about kind of where this team is going. Obviously, you saw some of that with the Players Tribune article and more of that. But, you know, we've talked a few times now about the possible extension for Haniger. Is that something that you guys are continuing to work towards?
No, we'll get to that. You know, again, as every time you ask me, I don't think that's something that we should discuss publicly. And, you know, but we're always open to the players, especially Mitch, because this is the last year of his time with the Mariners. If we don't get something done, we're always open to having those discussions, and we will. But, you know, to discuss them publicly is probably not It's not good business, nor is it good for the player or us emotionally. It gets a little bit too dramatic.
Makes sense. Well, it was cool to hear that he's excited, and certainly fans are excited. The Robbie Ray deal is, I think, gotten people pretty pumped about it, excited about Frazier as well. And it sounds like we still have about 12 hours left, Jerry, for you to continue wheeling and dealing. So I'll let you get off the phone with me. I'm sure you got other GMs and other folks to talk to, and it sounds like we may not get to talk for a long time, so if that is the case, goodbye and enjoy what comes next, and we'll look forward to talking as soon as we can.
All right, guys. Hopefully we can get some more done.
All right, there we go. There is Jerry DePoto, Mariners president of baseball operations, and all right, I guess I thought that there weren't too many more opportunities, but he's going to try to see if he can still get something done today. It's already been a heck of an off season for Jerry, you know, sounds like he's looking to add at least one more bat, maybe two, and looking for that kind of a high-impact, run-producing kind of middle-of-the-order bat. All right, we'll talk to John Clayton. We'll switch gears, talk a little football, and then Matt Hasselbeck coming up here in 20 minutes. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
Brought to you by Dubin Law Group.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, gosh, we're just continuing to go up and down here and trying to figure out what the heck is going on with the Seahawks. You have any new thoughts a day after kind of sitting and thinking about it for some time?
Not really. I mean, I can't predict which way it's going to go as far as, you know, after the season. You know, is Pete in trouble? I think not, but you can't guarantee that. Is Russell going to be wanted to be traded? I don't think so, but we can't guarantee that. All we know is that there needs to be a whole bunch of changes after the season.
Oh my God, John, are you okay today? You sound like you got a bit of a cold.
I think I'm getting one. Yeah.
It sounds like you may be. My gosh, can we get this man some get him some NyQuil or something?
Yeah.
I hope you need some time. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we'll see if we can press on here.
Pat and I have been coughing and hacking all week.
Yes, it certainly. Oh my gosh, it doesn't sound good. All right. Well, let's see if we can buzz around the league a little bit. Things have gone crazy in college football, and that leads people to wonder if Urban Meyer is maybe going to head to Notre Dame. But he says no. Do you believe him?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he wants to leave, but it wouldn't surprise me after the season and he gets fired because he's terrible. I mean, worst coach we've seen added in so long, and so because of that, you'd like to see that Jacksonville's smart enough because the fans don't like him. He's not winning. He's got the team in a bad state. And, you know, overall, the decision-making on the team is just horrid. So the question is going to be, can he fix it up? And right now he can't. But the Notre Dame will hire a coach before the end of the Jacksonville season.
John, you know I love you. You know I love talking to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to go? I mean,
no,
really,
I'm fine.
Are you sure you're okay? I don't want to make you press on here if you can't talk.
No, I'm good.
All right. Let's talk through Aaron Rodgers as well. He told Pat McAfee that he's trying to avoid toe surgery. What do you think happens now with Aaron and what is apparently not COVID, but does seem to be a toe injury?
Yeah, I would have to think it. Why he delayed it 1 week, I don't know. Because if he would have got it this week, you know, the bye week, it would have helped him out because it gave him an extra week to try to heal from that. But, you know, he says, well, I'm not getting it this week. And then it's like, well, what about next week? And, you know, the toe's in bad shape. You can see the pain that he's in. It does affect a little bit of his throwing. But in the end, I think that, you know, he's got to try to, you know, think about the surgery more so than anything else.
What's going on in Pittsburgh? It sounds like a whole mess there all of a sudden. I mean, usually that's like the ultimate steadfast, steady, right, great culture. And now all of a sudden things seem kind of a mess.
I've never seen it that bad. I mean, to lose 41-10 to Cincinnati, to have Cincinnati sweep the series, that's bad. And then to play so poorly on defense, that's something that you never see from Pittsburgh. You know, offensively, you know they have some struggles because they're young on the offensive line. You know, they don't have Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, they do have Najee Harris running the football, but their offensive line's terrible. But in the end, that defense was just destroyed by Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and then you got some issue, right? Claypool saying that they need to have more fun, and then Tomlin respond. I mean, just the cultural thing is so surprising there. That's like the one thing you would always expect to be just fine there.
Well, particularly, too, it's like they had a tie with Detroit.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
And they're now on a losing streak, and it's like I've never seen them drop that fast.
Last year
they dropped, because remember they went 11-0, and they started to fail after 11 wins. But then this year it's even worse.
It is funny, and we're going to talk to Hasselbeck about this in the next hour, about some of the quarterbacks that you really generally kind of expect to be steady, who have regressed or are not having great years this year or whatever. I mean, whether it's Russ or Josh Allen or some of the there have been a few guys who just don't look like themselves this year. Even Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked quite like himself.
No, he really hasn't. And so because of that, but you see he's bounced back. I mean, because now they're 7-4. They go from fourth place in the division to first place. He's not making the mistakes. He had a great game last week or in his last game. So, no, I think that Mahomes is back. But we're seeing up and downs on quarterbacks. I mean, Ryan Tannehill has had some downs. And, you've seen Roethlisberger have some big downs last week. So, in the end, they've got to fix things up.
All right, John, we appreciate it. We'll let you go. Please go drink some tea, get a little NyQuil, something, get some rest.
Okay.
Feel better, and we'll try to talk tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you go. There's John Clayton muscling through, as you would expect nothing else from John, no matter what. John is available. He's the most available guest of all time. I've never seen anything like it. I did like this text that came in. Hey, maybe Rogers was just waiting to hear back from Joe Rogan on whether or not he should have surgery on the toe.
I didn't see that.
That's true. You do want to check in with all the medical professionals in your life and make sure you get the right advice before you have toe surgery or not.
Poor John.
I saw that. No, it said Aaron Rodgers deciding whether to have toe surgery was the headline that I saw. So is he just making that decision? Just like, eh.
And he said if he did, he could have it on Monday or Tuesday and be ready by Sunday.
Oh, okay. But so he's just deciding. Like, you don't worry about what the doctors say on that?
Yeah.
Hey, at least he's consistent at that point. Like, it's my body, and I'm going to make the decisions for what's best for it health-wise. I don't care what the experts say. Maybe he will call Joe Rogan on this one as well. All right. Coming up next, we got an hour ready to go with Matt Hasselbeck. I missed him last week. I heard that he was talking some trash.
A little bit.
So we'll see if we can settle that, talk a little bit about what's going on with the Seahawks, and press forward as well. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. Matt Hasselbeck Show is next here on 710 ESPN Seattle.